Welcome, everyone, to the Black Tower Podcast, a Hoop of Time podcast. I am one of your hosts, Daniel, your Aman Khan Mahal.
I am another one of your hosts, Andrew, your Bajan Mahal.
And I am your oldest host, Josh, your Tsoravan Mahal.
That is accurate, technically. I don't think you are the oldest host, but you're actually not the oldest host. That honor goes to our Bajan Mahal.
Pajama Mahal.
Welcome to the Black Tower Podcast. All right. So, hey, everybody. Welcome. Welcome to all of our live listeners who are listening as my voice happens currently in this moment. And welcome to all of you who are listening recorded, who are listening to my voice now anyway, because that's the magic of recording and posting. We are back. Back again. And we're talking about...
Tell a friend.
And we're talking about more Wheel of Time. We're talking about more topics you love. And in fact, this one is a long-running topic. But before we get into the topic that we are talking about tonight, we need to go ahead and pop on a little spoiler. So can our lovely friends, who are amazing and gave us one of our best spoiler warnings ever, go ahead and pop in and do that?
Sure, they sure can. But I have something. I have to read the back of the protection first, I suppose. As it would, which changes almost every day, but don't ask us how it happens. It's like some Harry Potter shit. So, because I like getting the plugs and stuff done and out of the way ahead of time. For the most part and all that. At least this time we're going to do it because I don't talk to my fellow host about this stuff before I decide to just do it. We just do it live. If you're listening live, then you know you've already heard some of our pre-recording content on Patreon. Other people that maybe don't listen live or haven't gone on Patreon and support us there, you've heard us talk about it in the past. Today, when we did our pre-recording, we actually gave a bit of a glimpse into some of the background processes of what we go through to get things ready and what we're doing with season two. And
now,
if you
we take you backstage behind the curtain of the Black Tower Podcast, and it can be yours for just $1 a day.
Oh yeah.
Or something. And or a month. A month, not $1 a day. A month. $1 a month.
Jeez. However, really, if you want to give $1 a day, we will not say no.
Again, yes. We will take as much as you're willing to give. We're very happy with those people who are not just supporting us at $1 a day. However, we do also very, 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 very much love and appreciate everyone who does just give us $1 a month. Anyway,
ultimately,
sorry.
Every
back
single
to the
penny goes to make the show better. So
exactly.
Yep. We're super grateful for every single bit.
So in this pre-recording, actually what you'll be able to see if you look not close, because it'll be right there where you can see it pretty easily as long as Zoom and everything record it right, is you'll actually get to see. So we're right now recording season 2, episode 2, which you'll only get the video for episode 1 if you're on Patreon with us, or supporting us on Patreon, I guess I should say, because that's accurate. But you'll also get to see what the topic for episode 4 and episode 6 for season 2 are going to be ahead of time. So little teaser, you might be able to already figure it out just from extrapolation of stuff we've done in the past, but it's definitely there for you. But you'll get a bit of a sneak peek and you'll get to hear some of the stuff we're planning on doing, at least in broad terms, if you go on Patreon and watch that. Which, of course, the link's posted there to YouTube, but don't try to go to our YouTube channel, page, whatever, and watch it there, because the videos that are Patreon exclusive are unlisted. So, as far as I know, you can't find them. Somebody will prove me wrong, and then I will fix that as soon as I can. So, inevitably, you will not be able to see them on Patreon, and occasionally there will be Patreon-only videos, like season 2, episode 1.
Because we're not Black all... Tower fashion.
Yeah. Because they're not all always ready to be on camera or feel like being on camera that day. But you'll kind of see like some of the thought process behind what we're doing and how we're planning it and when you can expect. Because live listeners from the last episode already know that they got to hear the episode this past Wednesday. And they've already, if they're on Patreon at dedicated tier or above, they've already been able to watch the video this past Friday that no one else will even get to hear any of until this coming Friday the 6th.
Correct.
Which you guys won't hear this until a week after that. So, yeah. Just assume that if you're not on Patreon, you're always a week behind in what we actually talked about. Which is fine.
Ha ha.
No, there's no shame in that.
No.
But if you want to get to our Patreon and or any of our other stuff, like our Twitter, our Instagram, the YouTube channel for an easy click link, all that fun stuff, go to blackedhourpod.com. That is our site that thankfully a combination of the Crystal Barista and Josh hold down for us. And whenever we need things done, we just shout at Josh so that he can politely beg his wife to help him fix it. So, because we don't shout at the Crystal Barista, because that's how you get
around. Accurate. Accurate.
We yell at our members. And then they walk up to the person that can help them and go, ooh,
ooh, ooh.
Notices your bulge.
What?
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Yeah, I always notice your bulge. It's rocks. That's your bulge, I've got subscription buses to do. Jesus.
It's a bulge basically. In a box. Bulge basically. In a box. Anyway.
Anyway.
But other than our website, there's another website that people should go and definitely check out.
What website is that?
Yeah, Josh, tell us.
Crystalbarista.com.
That's one of them. That is definitely one.
What is the other one?
It's great.
All the trees are kind of decaying. Very
tainty.
What other website are you talking about?
TheGreatBlight.com. Oh,
The Great Blight. You're right.
What do you think we meant? BadDragon.com? I don't
know. I mean, maybe.
Ooh, notices your bulge.
BadDragon.com is not.
One of our sponsors. Don't go to Bad Dragon.
I need
Dragon.
To be very specific.
We serve the good dragon. The bad dragon is where the dragon riders go when the good dragon's not around.
I may be alone in this, but just for the lulz, if Bad Dragon were to sponsor us, I'd be down.
I told you my five no's. If they're not on my five no's, I'm down. I'm not going to put anything from Bad Dragon in me. For a sponsorship. But if they want to go ahead and sponsor us, I will talk about their red rod Terran Grials all day. In fact, I will talk about their multicolored red rods. I will talk about their spiked red rods. I will talk about their red
The Great Blight.com is a collection of all Wheel of Time content creators known to man. Nablis has done an amazing job putting together thegreatblight.com.
Indeed.
And you should really go check it out.
Indeed.
It's that cool.
Yeah. And if you're looking for his merch, it's on there too. And they're building a wiki. And
yep.
I know it circulated on Twitter not too long ago. It'll be longer ago than it is for us right now whenever everybody else hears this. But there was actually an article that was up that was pretty popular and shared around on Twitter a good bit that you should definitely go and give a good old gander and read through on.
I do also love our wonderful fact checker Morshadi just put up that based on my statement, there are things I'd put in me for sponsorship. And I'm going to tell you right now, that was never a question.
It has that to be was, a damn good sponsorship.
True. I mean, they definitely are.
In fact, Black Rifle Coffee Company.
Like
I was literally just about to say, Black Rifle, if you want to come sponsor us, I will drink exclusively that on stream.
All the Black Rifle.
Every fucking week.
Say exclusively. There's going to be something in the coffee.
Well,
whoa, 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 whoa. Yeah. No, it's also if Proper 12, Connor, Conor McGregor, if you want to come sponsor us with Proper 12, or if Sailor Jerry wants to get all up in here, I'm down with those too. And those will go right in the Black Rifle Coffee.
I love it. I'm happy. Okay, so what else do we need to plug?
A needle pulling thread. I mean, I guess that's it.
This
used to be so much longer before we actually had a website, because we talk about all of the different things.
But now we just tell you, go there and find it.
Get our sweet merch.
Scavenger hunt.
Yeah, sweet merch is awesome.
And the Dragonsworn merch. Our merch store is the only place that you can get it, as far as I know, and anybody else is a dark friend and a traitor. And unless they kind of, I can't say talk to us first, because I don't know if it's necessarily proprietary for us.
It's not.
But we would appreciate saying, like, hey, I want to sell some stuff too. And 99.9% of the time we'd be like, cool, that's a good idea. Why don't we all collectively contribute to a single place where you could just get any Dragonsworn merch? But you don't know who you're buying it from. That.
Ooh.
It's almost like
Round some kind of Robin.
It's like a secret shopper kind of thing. It's just a list of Dragonsworn merch, and you don't know who is providing it until you get it.
But also, I do want to throw out there, again, we say this a little bit serious because it was us who did the contest. But also, we are a super inclusive community, and we are a super inclusive podcast. So if you do actually have a really cool design for Dragonsworn, make it happen. That just makes the community better. Just fucking do a cool design for Dragonsworn. We don't need to be the exclusive podcast who did Dragonsworn, because, again, it was made by all of us for all of us. Just also,
of the fandom,
a shout out.
By the
really
fandom.
Appreciate a shout out
for the fandom
for that. Indeed.
And if you do have an
how
idea,
how America is supposed to work.
If you have an idea for Dragonsworn style merch, but you don't have a shop or whatever that, and you want us to put it up on the shop, we'll definitely give you
we're
credit
happy
for the
so.
Design.
Yeah.
And anything beyond that, we'll have to discuss not on an episode, obviously.
I get
but
it.
We will make whatever happen. But this just in, there's two lovely people that say that they want to protect everybody listening. So we're going to let them do that now.
Yeah.
This episode contains spoilers from the entire Wheel of Time series.
If you have not read the series, you are at risk of being spoiled.
You have been warned.
And there you go.
That was so wonderfully ominous.
I love it.
It's great.
You can tell that, like, they are not shy about talking at all.
Oh yeah.
But also they're not one to, like, mince words. They're just like,
yeah,
here's what it is.
They are clear and concise.
But we are going to be a little more specific. We do, of course, always recommend that you have read the entire series.
Because, unfortunately, there are a number of times where we will say things that may or may not be spoilers.
Not even why I'm saying it. Just saying we recommend you should read the entire series.
Oh, yeah.
But for this episode, definitively, you need to definitely have read all the way from book one, Eye of the World, all the way through book 12.
The Gathering Storm.
Yeah, book 12, The Gathering Storm. I had to count. Because I'm not good with numbers and stuff. But so last episode, well, before I get into all that, who wants to finally unveil the topic if people haven't already guessed it?
Oh, we going to be talking about the Durgan.
The Lord Dragon, may he forever shine upon the light.
As we have done before, we are actually in the middle. We do take a number of breaks because it's a little boring to talk about the same character for as many episodes as it sometimes takes for major, major characters. But we do some deep dives into characters that we love. And then, not more importantly, but one of the cool things is once we are done with those deep dives into those characters, we usually do one on the relationships between typically two characters. This one's going to be a little different because, of course it is, because he's the Lord Dragon. But today we are doing our part five?
Part five.
Part
Part five of our
Cinco.
Deep dive into the characterization and the personality and all of the things Lord Dragon Randalthor, Lord of the Morning, Lord of Luthaerin Reborn.
That is right.
The savior and destructor of the entire world.
That is right.
The Karakhan. The Koromor.
That is right.
So many other names.
So many other names.
But without further ado, we're going to kick this one off, of course, in Crossroads of Twilight, because last time we said we would get to Crossroads of Twilight, and we barely made it through the end of Winter's Heart.
Yeah.
Kind of what happens when it's pretty much.
Which worked out pretty well, because is it Winter's Heart or is it?
The it's Crossroads of Twilight.
Crossroads of Twilight. That he just doesn't do anything. I mean, Crossroads of Twilight is the most Game of Thrones-esque book in the series. And what I mean by that is nothing happens that anybody cares about. This person went and did this. This person went and did this. This person, they went over there and did that. And then there's like two things that happen that are like,
I will disagree with you a little bit, because I do actually like Crossroads of Twilight. I do I didn't care. Sorry. I do care about the events that are happening in Crossroads of Twilight. They are very interesting to me, but I can also very much see why it is not the most action-packed book. It's not. It's definitely a more subdued book, especially after an ending like Winter's Heart.
It's a little out of step with the pacing of the rest of the series.
I do agree with that.
When you look at the context, when you look at the overall context of what's happening in Robert Jordan's life at the time, you can see why. I mean, he's got to wrap this thing up, and
there's a lot that he left untied in Winter's Heart for, in some ways, some of the more action-heavy major events in the series. But one of the things that I do really like that we've talked about before is that Crossroads of Twilight and Winter's Heart are very much the same time frame.
Yes.
It does actually settle on a lot of the same time. And instead of doing the sort of Game of Thrones episodic thing that they did, where they literally just show you 3 minutes of 25 different characters.
Right.
He breaks those into, in a lot of ways, sort of two halves, and shows you some things that are happening with characters in Winter's Heart that, you know, then are a lot more in Crossroads of Twilight and vice versa. But it's definitely more like he shows you, you know, 10, 15 minutes of 10 characters in one, with like 1 minute of the other 10. And then in the other book, he does the same thing, but with the other half of the characters. So Rand is definitely very much more featured in Winter's Heart than he is in Crossroads of Twilight.
Yeah. Sure. Because in this one, he gets 3 POVs.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He gets, and two of those are in chapter 24. So he makes up 83% of chapter 24, which is titled A Strengthening Storm. And then he gets 83% of the epilogue as well. But ultimately, he only gets just over 2.2% of the entire book.
Right.
This is definitely a very, this is an Egwene, Perrin, Matt, and Elaine heavy book. You get a little bit of Fael in chapter 9, but you only have 5 characters that have double digit percentages for POVs.
Yep.
Like Egwene gets 98% of chapter 17.
Egwene does some pretty important things.
Yeah. She do.
But
well,
I mean,
Elaine
again,
and Egwene and Perrin, these are their this is their book.
Again, this is Robert Jordan like trying to get everything ready for the resolution.
Yeah.
And so what you've got with this is, because Winter's Heart is after where the taint's been cleansed, right?
Winter's Heart is where the taint is cleansed.
Right.
At the so end of it is when they do it, yeah.
Most you always of, cleanse the taint starting with the heart.
Yes, yes, of course.
And if you can do it in the bleak,
just midway, pour this straight from my heart.
And when you look at Crossroads of Twilight as they go around, it's
wait,
like
is that the way to a man's heart is through his taint?
Yes.
Okay.
Every time.
If you push hard enough.
ask Vlad the Impaler.
Oh.
That shit got dark.
Anyway, with Crossroads of Twilight, Rand's like POV, like the whole time Rand is there, but it's not, he's not there. It's everybody's going, who's channeling way over there? Everybody around the world can feel that. It's Rand. It Rand. Rand is like, and me. Well, and Nynaeve,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. No, but I'm agreeing with you. I'm just, yeah. One of the reasons that it's so fucking big is because it's both Rand and Nynaeve. Two, yes, of the biggest fucking channelers the world has ever goddamn, yeah, seen.
And they, yeah, and that's a good point, too, is a lot of people are like, oh, the Forsaken must be doing something, like, insane.
Yeah, well, I mean, then you have that kind of cool scene, or that cool part where Rand is just sitting there thinking about the Ashaman and the Black Tower and everything else that's going on. And then he's sitting there like, he's thinking about, well, again, like I said, he makes the mental decision that most of the Black Tower would probably follow Taim rather than himself.
Yes.
And Loghain is skeptical that Rand is like even remotely responsible for cleansing the taint, whatever.
Yeah.
And Rand is sitting there thinking about the creator's plan, and at some point he's just like,
God's plan.
That's God's not really plan. He's like,
the creator is good.
That's more of a loose Theron thing to think about, not really me. Whatever. Well, time I have, yeah, to wait because Bashir, has anything else happened other than Dobraine being stabbed?
And of course, Bashir's almost like really close to murdered.
Yeah. And then like Bashir's like, well, you know, my quarters were attacked as well. I think they were looking for the three intact seals, blah, blah, blah. Nobody knows where the seventh is. And Rand is like, okay, well, Bashir, Loghain, Loyal, go negotiate a truce with the Shan Chan. It's very much what we see of Rand is in this book is very much just Rand sitting there either thinking about his wife's, because he's, yeah, there with men in the bedroom, and then he can sense Elaine and Avienda off towards Camelin. And then he's just, it's literally chapters about him just thinking about stuff and people coming and talking to him and being like, okay, yeah, cool.
he does a lot of pontificating.
Yes.
In this series. In this
he does movie. What I used to do a lot in school. I'm not really paying attention. I'm just thinking about shit.
Yeah.
Oh, what's that? It's 42.
Oh, shit.
This is geography.
Oh, well, 42 is still the right answer.
The 42nd country. Yeah. I mean, that's all that chapter 24 really is for Rand. It's just,
yeah.
It is. Well, and I think they're trying to show his... I'd almost even say that this is almost like a bookmark for him, where they're not actively trying to show anything about who he is or what he's capable of. He's basically recovering. Because, yeah, like we just said, Crossroads of Twilight is happening at the same time as the cleansing of the taint. So the majority of this book
Rand's
is him.
Part is right after.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But,
which right. is why it's also at the end of the book, probably.
Yes, right, exactly.
And so that's what I'm saying. So when we do get that, it's him going, ugh, I am so tired.
Yeah. Though I will also admit that, again, given that this is Rand's character and Rand's personal, you know, nature and whatnot, I do actually think there is something to be said about the fact that while he is recovering, I do agree with that, what he did was just insanity, like not...
Like high intensity
not
training.
Not the bad kind of
not
insanity.
Not taint insanity, but just like insanity. You know,
I got drunk and cleansed the taint, man. I mean, right? If a drunk guy in New York can steal and land a plane twice when he's drunk, then I can cleanse Sidene.
It is a situation where, again,
you just
got
to believe in yourself.
I love you guys.
He wasn't even 100
lightning from my hands. Sorry, Daniel. Go ahead.
No, Rand, you drank 36 White Claws and cleansed the taint.
That would be all right.
Internal organs,
right, Nynaeve?
No, your internal organs are shutting down and we're going to lose you.
Stop with the medical jargon, Cat Swain.
You know
just
what?
Tell me what's going on.
All right, you made bad fuck you wucky and destroyed the Choden call key. So now you go to sleep in the forever box.
Not the box! No, you got to imagine, like, you know, you talk about the taint on Sidene and how it drives people insane. And at this point in time, Rand has already channeled far more than his share of Sidene.
Like, I mean, there were entire books where he talks about literally never letting go.
Yeah.
Even if he's not necessarily channeling it, he has his hand just dipped in the slick, disgusting oiliness of Sidene just the whole time, just taking in... how much of this just grossness is on it.
It's like, it's like one of the first times where, it's not like the first time, but one of the first times we see Morden, and I forgot who goes to see him, but I remember it's a female Forsaken.
Mogedion,
and she remarks about how she can already see a good bit of the saw in his eyes, which for that to be there, he has to have pretty much held on to the true source from the moment he got it. Because they know she's like you're new here, like
new,
she doesn't know who he is,
but your body is new, and therefore, to be completely honest, every time you get resurrected, you kind of refresh.
So,
but no, I was actually going to say that again. What he just did is so insane, and he wasn't even sure it was going to be possible. He knew he had to try, and he's glad that it worked. But when it comes right down to it, it was that. It was that point where, like, again, you shoot your shot with a girl who's way out of your league. I know that Josh can relate. And if she says no, you're no better off.
You're not wrong.
or you're no worse off. But once she says yes, now you have to plan dates. Now you actually have to plan things out. So it's basically the same with Rand. He's like, all right, I'm going to try to do this thing that's absolute insanity. And, you know, I'm not really going to plan that much for what the Black Tower looks like after, because I'm not even sure it's going to work. But that it has, I really have to start making plans.
It's like
now
climate
change. I really have to cement those things because otherwise the world is going to go to shit because I've just changed everything.
He looks at the Black Tower like a lot of like older folks seem to look at climate change like, I'm going to be dead. I don't care.
Right. Well, and the other thing is remember, this is pre... this is still Rand in his...
Gotta be hard.
Savior infancy, essentially. Yes. And so he's still going, you know, when they're like, dude, how did you do all this? His answer is still... Well, to be honest, I didn't think I'd make it this far. And so it's like, he's like, oh shit, I'm still doing good. Like, now what do I do? I don't know. Let's cleanse Sidene. Yes. That surely won't work. Okay, cool. Then he does it. And everybody's like, well, what are you going to do now, Rand? And he's like,
I'm going to go to Disney World.
I'm going to go to Val and Luca's traveling menagerie.
I don't know what the fuck I'm going to do. I thought I killed the Dark One like 9 books ago.
Right.
So.
No, and also it's true that, again, to relate this in some ways to drinking, Rand just cleansed the taint. And so I do, on some level, feel like his body is realizing that it's not getting worse. He's not getting more drunk. And so mentally, there is some recovery there that's immediately happening. But at the same time, he's had a lot to drink. And so he is still insane. He is still tainted.
Right.
But there is this, you know, in some ways like panacea or placebo effect that happens when you decide to stop drinking. Even though you're not any less drunk, you do actually kind of feel different when you're like, nope, I'm done. And so I feel like this is kind of that moment for Rand where he's like, all right, cool. I need to get my shit together now that I'm stopping drinking. And I'm not going to get any more insane, presumably, because that's done. Again, I have to deal with everything that's already happened,
I can
but I'm not going to get any more of it. And so he's really, like, again, it's one of those moments where he's been for a number of books, like, need to get hard, need to get hard, need to be strong, need to be rock, need to be steel, need to be all this. And this is, I think, the first point where he's kind of, like, sitting there being like, maybe I don't need to be that. Because one of the reasons I've needed to be steel... Yeah, one of the reasons I've needed to be steel is to steel my resolve and steel my mind against this plague, if you will, that is on me. And now I don't need to do that. So it is definitely a very important thing, set of scenes to me, as far as Rand's characterization, even though he does nothing.
I think it's the beginning of him. It's the beginning of his crescendo. Mm-hmm. Of him rounding the corner of going from kind of lost child Rand to Darth Rand,
yes,
who gets really, really nasty.
Yeah,
but it's sort of the marks the beginning of his descent it down to rock bottom, because he's trying to figure out, okay, this isn't a game. I've got to do this. And so he's got these philosophical thoughts running through his head where he's just kind of like, I don't even care anymore. I just need to know what's happening.
Yeah. Speaking of which, let's go into book. Book.
That's what 12. I was about to do. Because
next book,
or book 11. Book 11.
Yeah. Gathering Storm.
Nope. Book 11.
Knife of Dreams.
Knife of Dreams.
Oh, I'm sorry.
We didn't actually.
So, for those of us that have finished the series, we realize now that Crossroads of Twilight leaves off in some of the biggest foreshadowing that isn't blatant foreshadowing that. Rand is watching a storm outside of Tyr. He's in his estate in Tyr. And then Bashir returns from meeting with the Shan Chan and tells him that, like, they're amenable to having a conversation, but they have to meet the Dragon Reborn in person. And High Lady Sirroth wants him to meet the daughter of the Nine Moons. And then we get a quote from there. And then, yeah, then we are ready for Knife of Derumemiz.
And again, this is where Rand is forced back into hard steel. He's like, maybe I don't have to be so hard. And then the world's like, no, get back in your box. Get the fuck back in your box.
Well, is this... God,
get back in your box.
This is the unfortunate meeting with...
Grendel.
No, yeah. Semirog.
Oh, you're right. Sorry. It's Semirog, not Grendel. Yeah. Yeah.
But hey, Rand
gets Grendel's back to the next book.
Rand gets back to double digit percentages of the book. He's at 10.23, so almost 10.25% of the entire book, only beaten out by Matt, Elaine, and Perrin. This is very much a mainly Matt book as far as, like, percentage wise, with Matt's coming just under 20% of Le book.
Yes.
Le
book.
Le book.
But yeah, no, it definitely, again, this is one of those situations where everybody is preparing.
Yes.
Everybody is getting their shit together, because this is, and again, not to make anybody sad, this is the last book Robert Jordan gets to.
Yes.
And he knows it in some ways. I mean, he and Harriet set Brandon Sanderson up during and after this book to take over, because Robert Jordan was well aware of his inability to actually
see this thing
to the end. I think he actually might have thought he was going to get one more book. But again, he knew that he wasn't going to make it to the end of the series, and therefore he needed somebody else.
I thought Robert Jordan thought that Knife of Dreams was going to be the second to last book, and that there would only be one other book, because it was Brandon Sanderson that made the decision to split that last into three parts. And a lot of people were like complaining.
Yeah.
He made like this whole, it was a cash grab. And I was like, oh, get off it. Like, go away.
Well, and again, I will admit, like,
that was a good fucking idea. Good
job. Yeah. Well, and I will admit that, again, it was a situation where when that first book came out, I definitely heard a lot of people, you know, talking about the Gathering Storm and how much of a problem it was. And I didn't necessarily agree, but I was also sitting there being like, all right, what would I have cut out of the book? And I don't know that it's not a cash grab. I also don't know that it is a cash grab. And then we got the other two books, and I went, okay, yeah, no, never mind. There's no way that you could have possibly even done this in one book, even if you make like some severe cuts. Like, fuck anybody who thought this was a cash grab back then. But yeah.
Rand.
Rand.
This is what we always... I'm trying to keep us on track because we don't want to turn this into an A-part. We're already equal to Elaine, but at least Rand is actually does enough to warrant five or more episodes.
No, there you go. You're right.
There you go. No, just triggered all the Elaine fans.
Yes.
Yay. I actually do like Elaine, so calm down.
It's okay. There are only like five of them.
All five bathtubs that she used at the same time. She just
You know what I love? I love how Andrew's back on topic, and then he's
sorry.
Let's talk about Elaine in the back.
Guys, you need to stop your tangents. Only take my
because you've got your tangent that you need to get to.
Yeah. So they meet with Cimarrog.
Yep.
Well, meet with Tuon because Cimarrog has set up a trap at a manor in the countryside. We don't know this.
Rand has been trying to meet with her.
He's been trying to meet with the Seanchan.
With the Seanchan, because he wants to get them.
We don't know right off that it's not actually Tuon. We don't know right off
why he wants to meet with them. All we know is that he wants to form an alliance with them. And he is saying, basically, we've got to have their help at the last battle. We must have their help at the last battle.
Yeah.
And everybody's like, we hate the Seanchan. They suck. They're the worst.
I think he's also at this point be like, okay, nobody's heard a whisper of Demondred or Cimarrog.
Yeah.
So they're probably residing in another country. So he probably thinks that, you know, the Demondred, I think he kind of I don't think we ever actually see it. But I would extrapolate that. I think he figures that Demondred is probably in Zara, and that if Cimarrog is actually in another nation, that it would make more sense for her to be with the Seanchan. And
which is sort of correct.
Yes. Yeah.
She's not actually with the Seanchan, but she makes herself with the Seanchan, so she makes Rand right.
Yeah, because somebody with the Dark One's own look creates the perfect opportunity for them to still need Tuon around. And gets rid of the real one. But yeah, so they only actually identify her because of Cadswain's Taron Greal, part of her paralysis net.
Right.
Triggers that, okay, there's, you know, a strong female Chandler. But before Rand can act, and this is where I don't like what the wiki has said because it's not accurate, says that Cimarrog disguised, or she drops the disguise as Tuon, or exactly how it happens. But she flings... The wiki claims she flings a fireball in Rand's direction, which is generically
true.
She fires directly at Min.
Yes.
Because she, I think, upon meeting him and everything, feels that she can't actually defeat him. But killing his woman might drive him fully insane and make him a detriment to the light.
And at this time, they are under orders to drive him insane.
Yeah. Yes.
The Forsaken don't want to kill him. They want to hurt him.
So Rand, in a semi-accidental, he definitely means to block it and save Min, but takes the whole, you know, would you take my hand in marriage a little too literally?
Yes.
And the fireball takes his hand. And by Southern custom, that is now a shotgun wedding. And paid the dowry. So he is now legitimately married to at least Min, I suppose.
You shotgunned 36 white claws.
Oh shit!
Keep saying that. As soon as I finish this tumbler, I'm grabbing a white claw. So,
well, course, they actually capture Cimarrog at this point in time.
Yeah.
So
she made bad fucking wacky.
I mean, she thought it would be a good idea to go up against the Dragon Reborn, and it was a bad idea. It was a bad idea.
It was
because. You may have taken his hand, but his resolve is stronger than ever
She still has some kind of success because she's the one that looks at Rand and is like, you're hearing a voice in your head. You're hearing him, aren't you?
All
sort of stuff like that. You're far more insane than I thought. Perhaps we've already won.
Yeah, she's definitely good at messing
with
mind
games. Yeah,
like she definitely does a great job with that.
Well,
aspect
and again,
of the encounter.
If we sort of like extrapolate on what we were talking about before, again, I'm not 100% sure you guys fully agree with this, and that's okay. But if we're talking about the fact that, you know, at the end of book 11 or at the end of book 10, Rand is sort of like happy with his the product of his, you know, cleaning the taint and whatnot, and he's actually starting to plan for the future, and he might not have to be so hard, this is the point where he goes, nope, that was a terrible idea. I'm going back in my, like, safe zone. I will be hard. I will be rock. I will fuck everything up. Because, again, it's the, like, just a moment ago I was thinking maybe there was another way, and I just lost my fucking hand.
Yep.
Because I trusted too much. I believed too hard, and I gave too much away. And right. So Semirag, like, again, in the end, you can absolutely say, and knowing the ending of the story, and given the fact that we've already given a spoiler warning, it doesn't work. He doesn't actually go fully insane and turn to the shadow.
Right.
But he does get fucking close.
He gets close.
And this, I think, is the event that really starts to push him over the edge to the point where you're really thinking that that's going to be true.
I mean, I think it's funny that this is, it's not fun. I mean, I think it's genius, honestly, from a writing standpoint and a strategy standpoint, that their goal is now to drive him insane.
Yes.
And generally, when you think of people that mess with people's minds, the first Forsaken that comes to your mind is...
We'll get Ian.
Grindel. How's Grindel not the first one that comes to mind when you think of people messing with people's minds?
Oh, yeah. I've always thought of Mogedion. I feel like Grendel is so much more direct, and she just destroys people's minds.
She is. Well,
she literally just walks in and goes, you have no mind anymore.
Yeah. That's well, and right. Semirag,
no,
and
true.
That's why
that is,
Semirag is
that
perfect
is a solid
in this situation,
you're right,
though.
You're right.
Because she is, well, she's the
well,
one who's
she's fed knowledge
studying...
from Grendel.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because it's Grendel that tells her that Rand can hear his past life in his head.
Yep.
And that this condition is universally fatal.
Yep.
Yes.
Which, up until this point, for the past, what, 3,000-ish years, is pretty true because it's a pretty decent sign of madness, and madmen die.
Yes.
Yes.
It's just how it happens. But I think it's,
sometimes
I think it's really cool.
Sometimes with a whimper and sometimes with an explosion.
And I think it's, I just think it's cool that, that Grendel, who... for me, is the undisputed queen of manipulating minds, is indirectly like feeding. I don't think she actually believes that it's a universally fatal condition that just people typically die, but it's not a condition that's actually going to kill you. It's the result of madness. And she still goes up to Semirag and is like,
piss, 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 piss.
And keep in mind, too.
Is she calling a cat?
Keep in mind, too, though, that at this point in time, Rand is barely holding on to his sanity. Yeah. He part of the reason he lost his hand was because he was unable to wrestle control of Sidene away from the madman in his head.
Yes.
And so if he's
himself
already, if he's already having issues with the physical aspects of his person because of the madness. And then along comes Semirag and she's like, ha, you fucked in the head, ain't you, boy? And he's like, oh, damn. Like, does everybody know I'm screwed?
Yeah.
And it's just, so Rand makes a deal with his insanity and says, I promise if you never do that to me, actually it's a, hold on. Since we've got a visual aspect now.
Oh, don't.
Pull out the cold, hard facts.
No.
I promise you that if you never do this to me again,
I thought
swear,
you were pulling out a fucking book, not a song.
We will die together in the last battle.
Yeah.
But just don't ever do this to me. I can't wear any watches anymore. Thanks.
They just slip right off the end.
And so Luz Theron is like, oh, good, cool, we can
die. Shit, my sundial fell off. What the fuck?
And so for the rest of the books, it's a very tenuous relationship between he and Luz Theron, because Luz Theron's like, if you don't honor our deal, I swear to the creator, I will take Sidine away from you.
Yeah.
And Rand is very, very terrified of this.
Yes.
Rightfully so.
Yeah. Later on in this book, we do actually get the real meeting between Rand and Tuon, and it facilitated by well. Matt. And it goes arguably about the same. Rand doesn't lose
name is a shroud of darkness.
For once, being a Taviran doesn't actually fucking help him.
No, it well, it almost.
Oh, Tuon's wise to that shit.
Well, I've learned about your Taviran, and I've been fucking one.
Well, and something happens
I'm immune
in their meeting.
To Taviran. It's inside me now. I mean, not right now, but it's inside
so you
me.
Think Taviran is your ally.
When you roll a nat 20 to hit, you max out your damage, and they still say, he doesn't look phased.
Yeah.
So what happens is Rand rolls an intimidation check and rolls like a 19. He's doing a damn good job. And then Tuon rolls her wisdom saving throw and nat 20s that shit.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh no, oh no, oh no. And
oh no.
I gotta say, for as much shit as I give Tuon, she absolutely made the right call here. Because here comes this dude who is essentially trying to browbeat, intimidate, and force her into subservience. And as we've discussed before with the Shan Chan, they've actually got a really good thing going, minus the whole situation where they reduce people to property. Like, that's not okay.
Which Rand gets a lot of flack.
Like one of the giant parts of their society.
Yeah.
Their society's great.
Which in this general area, Rand gets a lot of flack from the fandom as well. And I think it's justified because he doesn't free the Soldam and Damane. He sends them to Tuon.
Yeah.
And I'm just kind of like, right, you could have had like a whole addition to your army and strength, but no. He wants to be a dick.
I think but that's at a the whole same time, episode all by itself.
Probably.
Because yeah, I could go on for hours about that.
Yeah, I see both sides of that so hard in terms of the fact that, again, the... Let's be honest, it doesn't actually work to just do that. But Rand is trying to say, here, I will give you all your weapons back if you use all your weapons where I want you to use your weapons.
Right.
And they go, yeah, sure. Sort of. And he's like, God damn it, that was not the deal. That
well,
was not the plan.
This is the second meeting, remember. This is,
yes.
This is the first meeting. He basically strolls in and says, you're going to be in an alliance with me.
Wait, mm-hmm. No, that doesn't happen. That happens in Gathering Storm, not Knife of Dream.
Does the second meeting happen in the...
Yeah, it happens in Gathering Storm. Because they go back to Falma.
Oh, you're right. All these goddamn books blend together.
But that's what I'm saying. I thought we were talking about the first meeting.
We were.
Well, my comment kind of brought it back to the first meeting. We were talking, like, part of the conversation was with the second. I don't know.
Well, I brought up the second meeting.
When he actually jumps into the first meeting, it's him basically showing up and saying, you're going to form an alliance with me. You're going to do what I want you to do, and you're going to fight in Tarmin Gaiden. Or I'm going to destroy the Shan Chan.
Mm-hmm.
And the really terrifying part about this is he started to have an aura of darkness around him that is so palpable, it is visible.
Yeah.
And and this is a measure of the madness he faces with Sidine, mm-hmm. the mental, emotional torture that he's faced at the hands of the Forsaken from every book.
Yeah.
And it's just a miracle that this guy is still in one piece.
Actually, our fact checker just brought up a really good part as well. I do actually think that a not insignificant piece of that comes from his connection to Moradin as well.
You know what? That could be... so far, the only thing we really know about their connection is essentially it's like the Force link, right? Which, you know, feeds into my theory of the Wheel of Time and Star Wars being connected.
We'll get there
and,
eventually.
And, you know, you all we really know about that is it's what facilitated a very large piece of story plot in the last book.
I think there's more to it than, because that was when Rand really started having the most trouble taking control of Sidene. It's where he starts getting dizzy every time he takes control of Sidene. It's where he starts getting dizzy when he lets go. It's when he starts seeing the man's face every time he takes control or lets go.
And it's when he discovers that he can touch the true source.
I believe
that the only reason he is able to do that is because of his link to
Dark One. I disagree with that's when he discovers it. I think he discovers it far later.
But it is when he actually gets the ability. I should rework.
It's when it happens,
but he doesn't realize that's what happens.
Yes, yeah, exactly. That's when he gets access. That's when he gets the password. He just doesn't figure it out until it.
The password is...
Oh, he just backdoored into that shit for sure.
Moradin.
Let me see. Let me get into their mind. Shaitan is cool.
Yeah, right.
Access granted.
Let me get into their mind. MAGA 2020. Did you guys hear about that? Oh my god. We're not actually going to talk about that, but fucking
that was Jesus. Funny.
Anyway.
That was funny.
But yeah, no, it is definitely when he gets that ability, he just doesn't realize it until later.
Which Tuon says he already had.
It's just the first time he was in a position where it manifested.
Yeah. Tuon says no. She says get out of here.
We'll talk about it more later, Daniel.
Crazy person.
Yes.
And through a series of events, he's just like, what am I doing? This is not working. I'm going to kill them. He's a nice guy who was friend zoned. And now he goes back to,
I don't think I ever got friend zoned and immediately went to, I'm going to kill them.
And he's like,
that's because you're not an incel.
We're going to kill them now. We need to move against the Shan Chan.
I'm an infidel, not an incel. Get it right.
He starts amassing an army to take out the Shan Chan.
Yep. Because he's a dick.
But Gathering Storm. So Rand lost a hand.
The Gathering Storm.
And so we get the nice printed cover of Gathering Storm. Rand shakes one hand at the clouds and he's facing away and the other hand just ends abruptly. So hopefully you already know what happened before you saw the cover.
It's a visual.
If not, you at least got some kind of spoiler. All I can see is your wrist to your elbow.
I'm going to tell you right now, I did know before I saw the cover, but it was, I'm going to out myself right now for a minute. I didn't realize there wasn't a hand there for years.
Same.
It took somebody saying that out loud and going, really? And then looking at the cover and being like, oh, holy shit, there's no hand there.
Isn't like in Knife of Dreams, isn't it kind of the same thing, but the hand is... No, it's not. Never mind. It's a completely different cover. The cover's got Perrin on it.
Yeah, Knife of Dreams has Perrin on it.
What's the other one where it has like him like... facing
there's two covers. One cover is Rand facing the cover, you can see it, and his right hand is up and his left hand is behind
it's covered cloth. His cloak is like part of
yeah,
his like
yeah, yeah.
cloak
draped is draped over, over it. And then the other one is Rand facing away from the everything else is the same building, same woman, like everything else is the same. Even got the same clothes, but for some reason he turned around. His right hand is still in the sky, but his left hand is like bleh, which bleh. Is funny because I thought he lost his right.
Oh, hand. So the one where he's facing away is the provisional cover for Gathering Storm.
Oh, okay.
And the other one was the actually chosen upon released one. It has like the more detailed building where the door has been blown out, and Rand's like, you know, I will fist the stars.
Shaitan!
Yep. But yeah, so Gathering Storm for Rand starts in Eredaman. Where
Eradaman.
Yeah. Adamantium land.
welcome to Eredaman.
Rand does have double digits again on the POVs.
Uh-huh.
We're at 14.9%, so he actually does have.
I always like my POVs at double digits.
Hey-o. The only person that has more story than him in this book is Egwene.
Yeah.
So this is she's her at book. 20%.
This is her book. Fucking book. It is. But we're not talking about her. So she gets this whole book. She's great. We love her. But Rand.
So yes. Rand has been progressively moving larger or more and more numbers of the IL into Eredaman with the intent of pacifying and restoring order to the country. But he's also searching for that bitch Grendahl, the character in the book, not Grendahl on Twitter. You're awesome. Yeah. I wouldn't call you that bitch. You're awesome.
Unless they took a DNA test.
I feel like Grendahl on Twitter would probably be okay with being called that
bitch. Would be 100% that bitch.
Yeah. But so there's the Aes Sedai that are there guarding Simarag are questioning her, and then Shadar Haran shows the fuck back up, frees her.
Yep.
Simarag takes a domination band. Which sounds good in any other circumstance but this book, potentially. Depends on what you're into, I guess. And then snaps it around Rand's neck. And then...
This is where he loses it. This is Rand is gone.
Simarag and then Elza Penfell, who is a Black Aja sister, use it to make him torture and attempt to kill men. And it's this instance where he can't touch Sidene that he reaches out in desperation, embraces the true source.
And this is where he finds the true source, yes. Yeah.
And then uses it to free himself and then just straight up murks Simarag and Elza. And then after this, he's like, I will be even harder and colder and have no emotions. Again. And it's like, okay, Batman, we get it. You just lost a Bane and you're coming back from it. But yeah. Come on.
You either live long enough to see yourself become the villain. Yeah. Or you die a hero.
And then
he looks at Cat's Way and he's like, weren't you supposed to secure this thing? Yeah, you fucking didn't. Get the fuck out and I'll kill you the next time I fucking see you.
Cad Swayne done messed up. Okay.
I mean, sort of.
I don't like her at all.
This is the one part where I actually think that Cad Swayne did something wrong. I'm not saying that she like had no part in it, but also Shadar Haran, though. Like, I don't want it to be... I don't want to give too much credit to a shit person. But, like, when you're like, all right, cool, so these are all the things that could go bad, and I've got plans for all these things, and then fucking Thor comes down from heaven. And you're like, I did not plan for this because I didn't even know this was a fucking thing.
I didn't know this was an option.
Like, again, I don't like Catswain. She fucks up so many times. She makes so many bad decisions. But this is one of the times where I'm like, oh, like, credit where credit is due. She planned for all the reasonable things to happen, and Shadar Haran was not a reasonable plan.
Yeah.
So anyway, but yes, Catswain done fucked up. She does let the Domination Band get to Rand. Especially in the hands of a Forsaken. And it's bad news bears. Because again, this is another situation where it's just like that meme where there's the little like pink square that's like, maybe I can come out of my comfort zone. Yeah. And then it like squeezes out and then the blue square just punches it. And it's like never again. And the square never is like three times as thick.
Never
like again, that's again. Just Rand over and over and over again in these books where he's just... He's gotten really hard. He's gotten really boxed up. He's really in his comfort zone. He's like, I make the boxes now. No one will ever put me in one.
And then it reminds it, like, me of he cleanses Sidene, and he's like, maybe a little comfort. Never mind. Nope, fuck that. I lost a hand. And then he's like, maybe a little comfort zone. And it's like, nope, they made me fuck up, man, and I had to grab the truth source. Never again. And now he's in this, like, fucking just...
It reminds me of the end of the first Jarhead movie where, you know, what's-his-name is giving the little speech. The man may leave the rifle, the man may leave the desert behind, but his hands always remember the rifle. But Fran's like, but his hand will always remember the box.
That's right.
Because when all this is said and done. Go ahead.
No, good. You finish.
I was just going to continue with what happens with Rand. Because once all this is done, Cimarrag and Elza are killed and Catswain is banished. Rand does go and meet the actual daughter of the Nine Moons, Tuon in Falma, and Tuon very quickly picks up on just his dark aura and
this mood. Is the meeting that we were just discussing.
And she's like, I get that you're the Dragon Reborn, but we're not talking. You can leave because there's nothing good coming from you.
You know what, Dragon? You can leave.
And then so after this, Tuon declares herself Empress, takes on a new name, which is Fortuona, and then approves the surprise attack against the White Tower in an effort to reduce what she saw as a portion or source of Rand's strength.
Which is fucking funny.
But it serves important for other characters who are not the subject of this exact episode. eventually, they figure out that Grendel is hiding in a remote palace in Ardamon. Yep. Rand uses a Chodan call and just this. Is that Natron's Barrow?
That's Natron's Barrow.
It is, yeah.
And he just levels the entire thing with Bellfire.
He turns it to glass.
Yeah, which takes and horrifies Min and Nynaeve. And they go running after Catswain.
Yeah, and I think they were saying that what they feel, I can't remember what it's called, but it's basically ripples in the pattern the pattern shivers under the sheer weight of the amount of balefire that just rips so many threads out.
Rand basically just takes his cigarette and puts it out on the pattern.
Yeah.
Like, there is a hole in the pattern now. Like, holy shit. How can you, like, touch? We've talked about our theories of what the One Power is and whatnot. But so many of them are so tied to the pattern that if you can touch the power and then you feel just this, like, snapping and unraveling and just, like, whatever of these threats. Like, how could you ever... Like, how could you sleep? Jesus Christ. But, I mean, again... That's
part of the thing.
Rand doesn't give a shit.
at this point in time.
Yes. Yeah.
And then after that, they start getting... So, like Andrew said, Nynaeve and Min run to Catswain separately. I think that's funny.
Yeah. Rand looks at Erdemon and says, fuck it, Seanchan, you can have it.
You can have it.
I'm going back to Tyr.
Yeah.
So and then, of course, the book transitions over to focus on Egwene.
Yeah, and then it
and
does
Rodel Edoralde is like, dude, I just fucking cleaned so much of this. Are you kidding me?
But
so true.
So all that happens. And then with regards to Ran, we get... normally, it's a very cliche, you know, you meet your dad or childhood friend and they help restore your sanity and stuff. But I think this was done very beautifully because under the direction of Catswain, Nynaeve finds Tam-Al-Thor and brings him to speak with Rand to try to break his emotional isolation, which they've all identified from very early on and been thinking like, oh, I can fix it. And then he glassifies an entire area and they're like, I can't fix it.
It's interesting because... This is such a powerful moment in the book because Catswain has a really great idea. It's a really great idea to get Tam in here to talk to Rand. and try to talk him down and try to talk him off the cliff and try to, you know, talk some sense into him.
Why don't you because step back from that ledge, my friend?
There was a powerful connection between a parent and child. And
stop glassifying all the places you have been. And if you Tam never want up. To see Tam again, I could understand.
That's great.
Well done, like guys.
That. Sorry, keep going with that.
So Tam comes in, he says, "Hey, my boy, how you doing?" He's talking. He says, "Yeah, they're expressing concern about you, and you know, you seem to be doing good. Let's talk." And for a while, things are going really well. Mm-hmm. And then Tam says something about when that woman, you know, I was worried when that woman tracked that me down woman, to talk to you.
Cod Swain Maladrin. Came to
and
me.
Rand just like stops cold.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, "What did you just say?"
Yeah.
"This is not okay. She's using you to manipulate me." Yeah. And Tam's like, "Whoa, whoa, whoa, what is going on?" And the cascade.
Well, and Tam is kind of like, "Yes, but do you see how well it's like?"
Yeah.
I'm not saying like how well it's working, but do you see how much better you are? And Rand's and like, "No, this is all a trick."
And so Rand then pushes Tam down and is close to killing him.
Oh, yeah.
And if he had killed
Tam. Like, scary close to killing
him. If he had killed Tam, that would have been it.
Yep.
Does Tam even know about Catswain?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, because Catswain's the one that found. He even says in the exchange, you know, "Oh, that woman sent me to find you, and I was really worried about you." And then that's when Rand, it clicks with Rand, and he goes, "Catswain sent you here.
I did not have communication relations with that woman, Catswain Maladrin."
So Catswain just has Nynaeve find Tam, and then she and Nynaeve talk to Tam. Okay.
Yes. Rand runs. He opens a gateway. Is like, "What the hell did I almost do?" And I know this isn't centric around Rand, but I really want to just talk about this. Is I think it's so amazing that Tam busts into Catswain's quarters and says, "What the hell did you do to my son?"
Yeah.
And starts yelling at him.
He just looks at the ice and he's like, "Look at how they massacred my boy."
Yeah. And so then Catswain wraps him up and floats him there.
"You were meant to save the dragon, not destroy him."
Catswain wraps him up in flows of air, picks him up off the ground, and says, "You'll mind a civil tongue with me."
He goes, "Bitch!"
And Tam just looks at her dead in the eyes. And Nynaeve is like, "Tam, it's okay." And Tam's like, "No, it's cool, Wisdom. I've dealt with bitches like this my entire life. They're a bully, and they ain't got shit but the power." And blah, blah. And he just eviscerates Catswain, like, verbally.
Oh, he does.
And I love it.
Oh, it's so good.
I absolutely love it. And when Rand makes his comment later on in the books, "This time I was raised better," 100% Tam Al'Thor. And I don't think Tam gets enough credit for that.
I think he does now.
Maybe in recent times, maybe. But I'm just
I don't think he got enough credit in the books. Yeah. But I do think at this point he does. I mean, like, just look at the absolute outcry and like just elation and happiness of the Tam casting. People were like, "Oh shit, Tam coming! It's that boy!" And it was like, "All right.
Here come that boy."
But so, yeah, no. This is a situation where it's the scene from Star Wars. Yeah, but it goes
situations
right.
Are irrelevant now.
Because again, it's the way that instead I of taste, like, I like Padme not that knowing breathed. That Obi-Wan was on the ship and him just coming out and fucking confronting Anakin, you get a situation where he is manipulated into just going there.
"You turned her against me."
Or
with all Luke. The voice cracks, Christian, whatever his name is, can muster.
Hayden Christensen.
There you go. I got it half.
Or Luke on the cave on Dagobah fighting an image of himself as Darth Vader and failing
at
that one as well.
That's on the mountain.
That's on the mountain. Oh, that's
the mountain.
But yeah, no, let's go to Dick Mountain, guys.
Yeah.
Which is the next scene with where Rand plays.
As long as Daniel was finished, because I don't want to cut
in. Yeah, no,
I think he was segueing into it.
I actually feel a lot that I don't want to necessarily throw George Lucas under the bus or anything. I think that George Lucas
I was wrong. In some it's a ways tangent.
Were trying to throw or was trying to recreate this scene from the Wheel of Time and make it better, and he just failed miserably because Hayden Christensen can't act his way out of a chest. But yeah, so, no, on Dick Mountain.
Guys, yep. It just got really dark in here with all that shade. That's going to be fun for the Rand, color correction and post-production.
Rand flees from the sight of Rand, of Tam.
I'm not worthless.
Looking up at
and I don't have fleas. At him.
Yeah. And
am I the only one that read this? And I know you're getting into what actually happens, and I'm only saying it now because I kind of like talking about things in generic phrases. Or genericalities. We're going to go with that word because it's totally a word.
It's a word.
When I read what we're about to get into, to no, me,
generalities.
To me, I just got the impression, and it may be the right impression. I don't know. I never looked into it. That this whole thing, I'm probably wrong, but it felt like it took hours. Like it felt like Rand was in just pure and utter existential crisis anguish for hours is what it felt like to me.
No, I agree. And it's one of those situations where, again, it's just, again, really quick. We've actually talked about this scene a number of times. We actually did an entire episode on Rand's madness. We've talked about in the YouTuber panel, you know, Rand's madness and Zen Rand and how it's a little bit mischaracterized and whatnot. So we don't necessarily need to go into this like too much. I'm sure that people have new things to say about it, and please feel free. But it's, you know, just the events are Rand flees to the mountain. He goes up to the top of Dragon Mount.
Go to the mountain.
Has a number of conversations with himself, because at this point we know that Luz Theron is actually not Luz Theron. It is Randall Thor and a manifestation of his madness. He decides that maybe it's time to end it all. Tries to take in as much of the One Power as he can possibly take in. He's
doing the same thing he did last time. He's
doing the same thing with the male Chosen Call.
Only this time.
Yeah. And so he is...
Because he has a moment where he's like, I hold enough power to erase the pattern.
Next. Yes.
And he's kind of sitting there being like, okay, there are a number of things I can do with this, or I can just burn myself out and be done. And there are so many different like avenues that he's going through with all of this just immense power that he has. And he eventually gets to a point where he just goes into this utter calm, makes peace with the voice inside his head.
Well, it's because Luz Theron. Luz Theron has a moment of, Rand's mental construct of Luz Theron. Has a moment of clear thought, and he's like, well, maybe me or us being reborn over and over again isn't a curse, but it's an opportunity to finally do things the right way. And Rand's like, I like your funny words, magic man.
there's one other aspect of this that is so important, I think.
Who pecked whose ass?
Because they don't, and we don't talk about this.
Was definitely the top.
We don't talk about this enough, and maybe we need to do an episode on this, but it is Rand is Ta'veren, mm-hmm. Matt and Perrin are Ta'veren. They are the confirmed Ta'veren. There are theories about other people being Ta'veren as well. But one of the things that what happens when Ta'veren are together, their Ta'veren nature stacks and becomes stronger.
Mm-hmm.
So the pattern is able to bend itself to this person's will. And when there's two Ta'veren, the influence over the pattern is even stronger.
Yep.
Now,
you're going to talk about Perrin of the Wolves, aren't you?
Not alone on Dragonmount. Perrin is there in the wolf dream with him.
Yes.
Cheering him on, and he knows he can't touch his friend. He knows his friend can't hear him, but he's standing there watching this darkness engulf his friend. unable to do anything about it other than to just be like, please, Rand, do not fail. And it is a theory of mine.
Give me your energy.
Give me your energy. It is a theory of mine that the reason Rand was able to get through that is because of the power of another Ta'veren there that allowed them to work together in order to get through that moment.
Again, it's infinitely hard to go ahead and say yay or nay. But I do like the
harmony.
I do like that theory. And you are absolutely correct, Robert, or actually Brandon Sanderson, because this is Gathering Storm. Yes. But I think Robert Jordan's notes, probably. This is, I feel very strongly we'll that this was Matt. A piece
RJ
that
Robert Jordan did not just
leave
works.
Brandon Sanderson this particular part to just write however he wanted. There was a lot of direction here. But at the same time, Brandon Sanderson did a really good job did a really significant job, I should say, of having Perrin there. It's not just a one-off line. It's not just a paragraph of like, and Perrin was also there. It's a focus.
Yes.
It's not the biggest focus by any stretch of the imagination,
but it is a bit piece.
So Rand gets talked down from the mountain in some ways, like both figuratively and literally by his own madness in some ways, or the manifestation of his own madness that has this moment of clarity. Perrin sort of over his shoulder, just wishing him the best.
So they're like, bro, come on, bro.
So I just like imagine it's one of those things where like Perrin's ghosting him, but like in the wolf dream, so like it's not actually happening. Yeah. So he's not actually he's not Patrick Swayze.
No.
But he is.
But yeah.
When I think of
and he comes down with a newfound...
No, I was just gonna say then the only thing he does after that is before letting go of the source, he turns the power onto the Choden Call,
and destroys it.
The keys.
Yeah.
Fix yourself.
So
I think indeed. For me, when I think of epic conclusions to scenes and stuff, to me, honestly, The Gathering Storm has the best closing scene. Because it's Egwene, she is in the Amarylline study. Excuse me. I'm going to edit that out in post.
Maybe. Hey, all right.
Better out this than is I why always
you're
say.
Here, when you're drinking when you're drinking White Claw, it's the law.
For me, it's the White Claw. It's the White Claw for me.
What did I say?
I don't know. Gathering Storm has the greatest ending.
I said that part. All right, so Egwene is in the Amarylline study. There's this massive hole in the wall at the back of the study that looks, coincidentally, of course, directly at Dragonmount. And Egwene is standing there. She's looking out through the hole. Oh, of course not. She's standing there looking out through the hole, and she's looking at Dragonmount, and she sees that all the clouds that have been surrounding everything, there's a broken ring around Dragonmount, and that there's just a pouring of sunshine on the top of Dragonmount. And it's the first she's seen in weeks. And she turns to Sylvania, which I'm probably saying wrong, and tells her to mark the calendar.
That because something happened.
Something has happened, and we'll find out what it is.
Yep.
And then we have the last moment where Egwene's
put
like,
it on the calendar that an event has happened. We will edit what event
happened today.
But a thing happened at 4:15 p.m. A thing happened.
And I think, you know, you always assume when you're reading series of fantasy and stuff like this that for the most part the hero is going to win. And for me, up until the conclusion of the Gathering Storm, it really honestly could have gone either way. And towards the end there, obviously at the climactic point of the book, it was very close to going the other way.
Mm-hmm.
Where Rand almost reincarnated himself as a arm of Shaitan. But I think it's at that point that you as a reader, knowing how most fantasy goes and how most things work out and stuff, that Rand is finally in the position that we all wish he had been in by book 3 or 4 at the very latest. Mm-hmm. And then I think as a reader, it's the first time you can kind of go, oh, okay. I think he's going to win. I think he's going to, you know, he's at least where he needs to be. So now if he loses, it's you know, just a twist ending, but I feel pretty good. That was the point where I was like, okay, like Rand is going to win. He's where he needs to be. And I didn't even just need to see the after effects. The after effects just re-solidified it for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, but that is sort of Rand in a nutshell for these books.
Yeah.
He really does change super dramatically.
Doesn't between have these a three lot books. Of airtime.
No.
But has a lot of potent airtime.
Mm-hmm. And again, it's one of those situations where, you know, real quick, we've talked so much about these books in terms of the fact that don't just read the words that are on the page. Don't do it. You're not going to get nearly as much out of the book if you don't put at least a little bit of imagination in and intelligent, you know, educated
critical
imagination,
thinking.
Not just, yeah, yeah, critical thinking, imagination, just fill in blanks that they don't give you. Because I feel like, again, that's one of the magical things about just good authors. And Robert Jordan is one of them. He doesn't tell you every single little piece, but he expects you to fill in some blanks with educated guesses. And this is one of those points where, again, if you just kind of look at Rand's behavior, it doesn't make 100% sense.
Yeah.
Because he just goes 0 to 60 so fucking fast. But if you've been critical thinking, if you've been reading the books with a keen eye for the details that they're not writing out for you, you're like, oh fuck. All right, well, there it is.
And oh, she has a lovely brassiere.
But yeah, so Rand does a lot of changing. Anyway, we got two more books, and we will take care of those in part six.
The final part.
Hopefully.
Our deep dive on Mr. Rand. Sir Rand Althor.
That's right.
Oh, but then after that, who knows?
Your homework this week, guys, you must go to three websites, blacktowerpod.com, crystalbarista.com, and thegreatblight.com. That's your homework for this week.
I have one more homework for you. I have one more homework for you. Go to Black Rifle Coffee and write comments in about how much they should sponsor us.
Oh, there you go. Let's start a Wheel of Time sponsorship campaign.
I'm just kidding. That's not actually homework. I would love if you did it.
They
but that's
do.
Not homework.
They
if
are,
you
do,
they we don't, do we don't need money. Here in Utah. We just want the coffee. Like, they don't have to pay us anything. Just send us coffee.
They do have a product. Store here in Utah.
Just send us coffee.
Just saying.
Done.
Maybe on the weekend I'll go down there and be like, hello. You like black coffee. We
I
like
am
black
Josh.
Showers.
I am Josh, and I have podcasts.
I wouldn't open with that statement.
Thank you so much for tuning in. You guys have been awesome. Thank you for listening. Thank you for being one of our treasured friends, associates, fans,
friends, and Romans, countrymen.
Len Maiorius. From all of us at the Black Tower, to all of you, I have been Josh.
That was a nice Ramen and Men in Tights reference.
You like that? I've been Josh. You're sort of on my ear.
He did. He threw his ear at you.
I have been Andrew, your pajama mail.
And I have been Daniel, your hummus con mail. And from
some
all of us here
hummus.
At the Black Tower.
I want to be the tzatziki mahale.
There we go. Oh, my God. We're all so deep. I love it. But from all of us here at the Black Tower, thank you again so much for listening. We hope that your Wednesday night or your Friday morning or whatever it is that you're listening to, I hope that your morning is absolutely fantastic.
And
that you're getting
void.
Everything you want in the world. Except for that one thing. You don't actually want that one thing. And in case we don't see you again, good afternoon, good evening, good night.